And we've got David Icke for you tonight. So stand by. Phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM. David, where can people get your book, The Global Conspiracy?
Well, it's just arriving at the warehouse, actually, tomorrow. And the quickest way to get it will be through the website, davidicke.com, at the moment. But it will be circulating in America in the next few weeks.
Here it comes, right?
Yep.
Okay, let's go to the phones. International line, you're on Coast to Coast with us. Where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm calling from Vancouver, British Columbia.
Okay, sir, go ahead.
Very pleased to say that I had an opportunity to work with David some years ago, actually in a limited capacity. I was his driver and bodyguard out here when they were trying to keep him from doing his job, basically.
Those were the days.
You betcha, Dave. It's good to see you're still going strong, and like you say, you're popping up everywhere. We've been following you closely, me and the group out in Vancouver here. And I just wanted to ask you, maybe we should mention foods like aspartame and fluoride and a few other things, as well as the situation that's going on with the chemtrails and stuff. I just and maybe you want to bring up the ET thing. I know you and I looked at those skulls that were brought up from Mexico when they were brought to Vancouver. So I was just wondering if you might want to comment on a few of those items.
Well, one of the common themes that you find with so many of these food additives, like aspartame, fluoride in the water, monosodium glutamate, which tricks the brain into decoding more taste than is really there, they are what science calls excitotoxins. They excite brain cells and destroy them, and which absolutely fits in with what I was talking about earlier about the war on the human body computer, so that it doesn't become a vehicle for consciousness to express itself in the way that it potentially could. And of course, in fluoride in the water, that was put in the water in concentration camps in Germany, and one of its major effects is to suppress people and to make them subordinate and docile. And there have been chemists who've pointed this out, and it's extraordinary to think that we are taking a substance which is a byproduct, a waste product, a poison of the aluminium industry, for instance, and putting it in water and saying it's good for teeth. When, again, a Canadian example, a man called Lineback, who was head of dentistry at Toronto University, was one of the great advocates in North America of fluoride in the water, until he realized that he had not read the data that was available. He'd only read the data that was given to him by the authorities, after which he became an absolute opponent of fluoride in the water because of its effect and the way it poisons the body, absolutely in line with what we're talking about tonight. In terms of extraterrestrials, I think, you know, when you're looking at one small planet in one solar system in this universe, the idea that life as we know it has only evolved here is just, for me, extraordinary. But you're credible if you believe that for some reason. But I think we've been visited by many different non-human races over eons and eons of time, and we still are. And but one thing that I think it's important to keep in mind is that there is a project which I've been aware of now for quite a long time, and it came to mind this week, called Project Bluebeam, which is to give the impression that there is an alien invasion at some point, a quote alien invasion, which actually will be a fake invasion. What it will do and what it's aimed to do is to justify massive centralization of military and political power to meet the threat from beyond. And one of the elements of Bluebeam that I came across years and years ago was that at some point there would be a complete change of emphasis in terms of the mainstream view of extraterrestrial activity and UFO activity, and suddenly it would be in the public arena, not as, oh, they believe in little green men, but actually promoted in a credible way as part of the build up to this. Well, we couldn't tell it before because we didn't want to start mad panic, but yes, that there is a threat to the planet. And of course, what if you want global problems through which you can promote global solutions, then a threat to the whole planet, global warming, global terrorism, global threat from an extraterrestrial source. These are all potential global problems that can lead to you introducing your global solutions, which is the structure that we've been talking about this evening.
Okay, next up, let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on with David Icke. Hi there.
Hi there.
Go ahead.
Gary in Roanoke, Virginia.
Hello, Gary.
Hi. I've been listening to you talk off and on during the night. I'm a security officer and, you know, work earlier. But with unlimited funds that these families you've talked about having and no compunction, with the power to use presidents and vice presidents as front men, and a complete control of the media, the conventional media, how is it they haven't detected you and eliminated you before you ever got to the notice of something like Coast to Coast?
Well, we talked about that earlier. First of all, we need to be a little bit more positive about our own power than, you know, you start talking about this and they take you out. You know, if that's the only power we have, then we might as well not even start. But in the early 1990s, a quick reprise, from about 1990-91 onwards, right through the 90s, I was subjected to enormous ridicule in Britain, to the point where I was like the crazy man of Britain, and it was just incessant ridicule. Now, for me to start talking about that stuff, this stuff then, would have been good for these people in a sense, because they associate, well, if he's talking about it, everyone will think it's crazy. But the passage of events in daily experience, particularly since 9/11, that were all in my books before, that this was coming and this is how it was going to go, is completely changing people's perception of me and what I'm saying. And at the same time, you know, all my books are out there now. I've been, well known for what I do, and to do anything to me now, physically or obviously, would just give what I'm doing tremendous credibility. So it's not in their interest to do that.
They're trapped now.
And they won't do that anyway. They can't do that anyway. I can't tell you how I know, and it's not important, but they cannot stop me doing what I'm doing. They can make it more difficult. They can make it more challenging. They can put blocks in the way that I have to overcome, and they've done that so many times. But actually, ultimately, stop what I'm doing, they can't do it. And they need to understand that, because, you know, they could do more with their lives and try to stop me, because it's a waste of time.
Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air with David Icke on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
We are well, thanks.
Good. George, I just want to tell you, I've listened to you for the last year or so, and I've gained so much unknown knowledge. And I just have one question for David.
Sure thing.
Where does God fit into all of this?
Well, it's a good question. What is God? And, you know, we have been divided and ruled so many times, and right to the present day, by different belief systems on what constitutes God. And I think what we need to do is just take a deep breath, sit down and relax, and be at peace with different people having different perceptions of what the great forever is, and how we symbolize it and how we perceive it. My perception of it is that it is one infinite consciousness, which is what you might call infinite love. And everything that manifests is comes from the imagination of that one infinite consciousness. And sometimes that becomes imbalanced because of certain things, and we have challenging situations. But we are all an expression of that one infinite, all-knowing, all-wise consciousness. And what religions tend to do is to put us apart from that consciousness. Like we have to look up to God, and God is apart from us, when actually we are all part of that one infinite consciousness. And when you see things, even in biblical texts where they talk about God being everywhere, well, go, yes, because it's infinite consciousness. Not only is it everywhere, it is everything. That's the way I see it. And what we've done is got so focused, so much self-identifying with the body, the vehicle to experience this reality, that we have forgotten that we are all that is. We are an expression of that, if you like, God, that infinite consciousness. And when we lose that understanding that we are that infinite consciousness, that's when we get into trouble, because we start identifying with the small instead of the all. And that's when we get into the little game mentality that leads to conflict and war and I'm right and you're wrong and all this stupidity and this race and that race. It's all so stupid. Racism is the ultimate stupidity, because it's the same consciousness arguing about which one is most superior. It's absolutely ludicrous. And it's losing this understanding that we are this infinite consciousness, and identifying with the little mentality of the body vehicle. That's what's got us into trouble. And when we reverse that, then the trouble will disappear.
Hey, tell us your story about your contact with the spirit world, David.
Well, I was a guy in the 1980s working for the BBC as an anchorman, and I was a national spokesman for the British Green Party, and then amazing things just started to happen to me. Towards the end of the 80s, I suddenly had this feeling that when I was in a room alone, I was not alone. There was something else there. And it went on for months and months and months, and it got more and more tangible. Until I sat on the edge of a bed in a hotel in London one night and said, look, for goodness sake, if there's something there, would you please contact me, because you'll drive me up the wall. A few days later, I came across a psychic. It's a long story, I'll keep it short, who had no idea about all this, and starts telling me that some entity is communicating with her and saying that I'm going out on a world stage to reveal enormous secrets, and there was a great spiritual transformation about to unfold on the earth, and that shadows were going to be lifted, and what had remained hidden was coming to attention, and that I was going to play a part in this, and that the time would come when I'd be world famous doing this, and I would face enormous opposition, but, quote, they would always be there to protect me. And then it led me eventually to, a long story again, a mound in Peru, in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of a little stone circle. Amazing things happened there, extraordinary things happened there, which basically blew my mind. And after a period of 3 months in which I didn't know what planet I was on, everything morphed back into clarity, and I was looking through the same eyes, but I saw the world in a completely different way. And from that moment, this amazing synchronicity of events and people and, quote, coincidences started happening, that was handing me the pieces in the puzzle almost in the order that I needed to most quickly understand how they fitted together. So there is some force, not just working with me, but working with enormous people on the planet, because the force itself is a state of consciousness. And when people awaken from the amnesia, they start to connect with that level of consciousness that's been shut out before, and they start then seeing the world in a different way, because they are accessing that level of awareness suddenly. And people say, I don't understand why I didn't see it before, it's so obvious now. But you were in the concrete eggshell before. Now you're opened your mind, literally opened your mind to access this level of awareness, and so therefore you're point of perspective and observation has changed, so your awareness of what's going on has changed. You see, people say, when's the cavalry coming? Well, the cavalry is a vibrational state of consciousness, and it cannot come down density, we have to open our minds to connect with it. And then when that connection is made, that's when people transform their understanding of themselves. And this is what's happening. And this vibrational change that's happening is helping to tease open the amnesia so that we connect with these higher levels of consciousness, and bingo, we're never the same again.
Okay, let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George, this is Thomas. I'm calling from Sheboygan.
Hey, Thomas, thanks.
I had some theories about the Roman Church that might prove interesting, just because your guest had mentioned that previously.
Okay.
Personally, I think the interlocking web that you described is correlated to the sorceries that deceive the whole world, all nations, that you can find in the Book of Revelation, the 18th chapter, the 23rd verse. And also the sorceries in the Book of Revelation, the 9th chapter, where it says they not that the ones they didn't repent of, that means in the Greek, it's the word pharmakia, which translates into pharmaceuticals or medications. And this the sorcery that I believe was promulgated by the Roman faith that perpetuates itself and grows through false sorcery and iconography, which borders on idolatry and seriously straight idolatry of necromantic variety, with a graven dead Jesus hanging over every altar and stuff like that. I'm losing my perspicacity here.
Let's see, help him out here, David. Where's he headed?
Well, I think there's a lot of truth in what the gentleman says. Certainly, all the talk of the sorcerers and stuff like that is absolutely what these people are. And also, in biblical terms, what are called the fallen angels. That's the very network, and that's the very non-human group that I'm talking about. I'm not a Christian, but to say there's no truth in the Bible is utterly ridiculous. Of course there is. There's some very interesting stuff in the Bible where it actually talks about the sons of God who interbred with the daughters of men. These are the Nephilim. These are the fallen angels we're talking about, and a vehicle for this network across enormous amounts of time, centuries and centuries, has been the Roman Church, which was, like I said, formerly the Church of Babylon. And what these quote fallen angels and their network of interbreeding bloodlines have is this knowledge of how to manipulate energy, how to manipulate consciousness, because consciousness is energy, and how this basically the fundamentals of this reality and how we decode it into our experienced reality, how it works. And this is the real level of sorcery, or what's termed black magic, which is the ability to manipulate these things from a knowledge of how they work so that people behave and see the world in a way that suits your agenda. People talk about the occult. The word occult just means hidden knowledge. That's what it is. And it can be used for positive reasons, and it can be used for extremely malevolent reasons. And it's the black magicians, the sorcerers, as the gentleman refers to, that are absolutely behind this. And in the next year or two, I know that I'm going to get access to information and knowledge that is going to give me a real, real, much greater fix on how they use this knowledge to manipulate the mass, a collective human perception.
All right, stay with us, David.
And it's going to be an incredible revelation when we find out what's been going on.
Final phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, Jim Carroll joins us. We call him the psychic madman. You'll find out why on Coast to Coast AM. Well, we're back. Final segment with David Icke. David, traveling. What do you do next?
I've been talking a heck of a lot on the radio all over the world in the last few weeks, so that's been extremely productive. I'm going to Japan in February, talking there. I've got a big event in London on May the 24th, two and a half thousand people, and then I'm open to anyone wants to invite me to any country. My bag is packed, because I'm really given everything that I can to this, what I'm doing, and you know, it is my life. It is everything. And so anything that comes up that is positive in communicating this, then I'm up for it.
Okay, back to the phones. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
Hello there. This is Don in Salem, Oregon.
Hello, Don. Thanks.
Hi, George. Hi, David.
Hello, Don.
First of all, George.
Yes, sir.
Don't let Tommy go. He's a nice guy.
No, I'll never let him go. I pull his leg, but I don't let him go.
He's a pretty good dude. And I want to say something to first you, George, and David. I called a couple of weeks ago about this stuff that's going on with the Vietnam veterans, how they're getting their Social Security benefits denied. And I talked to you with Danion on that.
Oh, I remember that. Right.
Yeah. And Danion had said that you cannot combine your service-connected disability payments with Social Security, and you can. And there was a guy on the next day that, you know, kind of clarified what I was saying.
Right. Right.
And I think that's something that needs to go out there. I've been working with my senator in my state and all kinds of other people. But for you, David.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before that last caller, what you said when George asked you that question, what you thought about things and God and everything, I kind of got the same opinion. I think God or somebody's always been knocking on the back of my head saying, hey, you know, open your eyes, see how things are going. And like you said, I'm not a Christian, you're not a Christian, but there's always something, I think, that is inbred into all of us that tells us what is right and what is wrong.
I'll tell you what I think the difference is. There's two levels of connection and intelligence. There's brain intelligence. That's body consciousness intelligence. And that can be extremely impressive. I mean, you know, a computer can do fantastic things, and certainly the body does. But then there's another, which I call heart intelligence, which talks to us through intuition, through
heart and
feelings.
Soul and common sense.
That one. Now, the whole system, Don, is structured, and we are pressured through it to follow brain intelligence. It's brain intelligence, body intelligence that's saying, no, you can't go with your intuition. You've got a mortgage to pay. You've got a family. You've got a cat. You've got a this. You've got a that. Yeah. Oh, how can you do that? Your mother doesn't want you to do that. She wants you to work at a bank. And all this stuff. It's always pressuring us to follow brain intelligence, which is body consciousness. Mm-hmm. And it's when you start to – and when you talk there, Don, about something knocking on your head and stuff like that, that's heart intelligence. And when you open your mind and get out of identifying who you are with the body, that's when you start to withdraw from brain intelligence and go into heart intelligence, and then the whole damn world changes because you're connected to a much higher level of awareness. There's nothing wrong with brain intelligence. Heart intelligence and brain intelligence are supposed to work as one unit while we are experiencing this world. We're supposed to, you know, they're supposed to be ideally in balance with each other. But what's happened is because of the manipulation and the way the system's been structured, we've been pushed into brain intelligence, which locks us into five sense perception, which locks us into this world is all we are, and I'm just little me. And that's the way it's been done.
I agree. And like I said, David, that statement you made, I thoroughly impressed with you. It just, it like you said, it hit me in my heart. Okay, thank you, gentlemen.
Okay, appreciate it. All right, next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there.
Yes, sir.
Dave from Palmdale, California.
Okay, David.
Great to talk to you, David and George. Actually, I have two questions. David, number one, have you been following the primaries here in America?
From a distance, I have, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good. Then you know there's a revolution going on, and there's one candidate that's actually struck the chords of America, you know, just the freedom and our Constitution, going back to basics. And I know I could tell by the mainstream media's, we can all tell by the mainstream media's reaction to this by suppressing the numbers, if you just look at the polls after the debates, and I'm not going to even mention his name, you guys can figure it out. After the debates, look at the polls. They're suppressing it. Now their back is they got their back to the wall, and we know that animals jump out. You know they'll attack. What should we watch for in during this revolution of ours?
Well, first of all, the gentleman's doing a fantastic job articulating in the mainstream, because of his candidature, he has access, at least to some extent, to the mainstream media. And what he's saying about the money system, what he's saying about the erosion of freedoms and the war in Iraq, is fantastic stuff. And it does touch a chord, because many of these things, we think that people don't have these feelings on a vast scale. It's not that. It's that they don't get access to the mainstream media to articulate the fact that that's how they feel. So we get the impression that there's a certain national feeling when actually the national feeling is not that at all. It's just what the mainstream media have put out is what. I mean, if you watch Fox News, you're not going to get a feeling for how the people of America think. But on the other hand, you've got two Illuminati candidates, big time. One is Rudolph Giuliani, and the other one is Hillary Clinton. And I've been talking about Hillary Clinton running for president now for must be 5 or 6 years, because there are people like Father George Bush and Hillary Clinton who are higher in the hierarchy. The hidden hierarchy than most presidents are, most presidential candidates, including her husband Bill and boy George Bush. They're both much further down. People like Hillary Clinton and Father George Bush, yes, they're puppets, because they all are of this hidden force, but they're puppeteers as well, not just puppets. And the fact that she's running for president, I feel there's a very good chance that that's the one they want, although Giuliani will suit them very much as well. And but what is happening now with this alternative candidate is just fantastic, and power to him. But the system will try to suppress what he's doing.
They won't let him win, David.
No, of course not, because it's Giuliani and Hillary Clinton. They're the candidates and that they want, and they are absolutely both of them.
And they'd be
100% puppets of this force.
And they'd be happy with either one.
Oh, yes, either one would do the job. You see, if Giuliani won, and for him to win, he would have to be there have to be massive kind of events which would get enough people to perceive him as the strong man we need at this time. And if he won, of course, the whole neocon network that is around the Bush administration would stay in place. So that's a benefit from that point of view. But Hillary Clinton is a real a piece of wizardry. I mean, I've done so much research about her over the years, and there's a lot about her in the book. She is not just your average puppet politician. She is not. And I think there's a very good chance that they would want her. And this is sobering, George, to think about this, you know. In the land of the free, where there are 300 million people now, we are told that anyone can become president. Well, just hold on a second. In 1980, we had Bush Reagan. And for two terms, Father George Bush was the president of the United States. Anyone who's looked at that could see that plainly, that Reagan was a front man. We then go from two terms of Father George Bush, in effect, to an official term of Father George Bush. There's three terms of Father George Bush. We then go to two terms of Bill Clinton. And Bill Clinton, the Clinton family, and Hillary are fundamentally connected to the Bush family, and were, as my book shows, way back before anyone had heard of Bill Clinton running for president. We then go from Clinton to two terms of boy George Bush. What are we now? Two.
five, it's a dynasty
four,
now.
Five, six, seven. Now, if Hillary Clinton wins the next election, we're going to an eighth term of the Bush-Clinton dynasty, who are absolutely controlled by the same force and fundamentally controlled, connected to each other. And that will take us to when? That will take us to 2012. If she wins two terms, it would take us to 2016.
Yeah.
And I said earlier, it's the window of time between now and 2016 when they really want this whole stuff put into place, this whole structure of control. So if people dismiss everything else that I say, just in America, just think this. You've had two families as president all this time in the land of the free. Do you think there might be something wrong here?
East of the Rockies, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. Hi, David. This is
Hello, mate.
Columbus, Ohio. I have two theories that I'd like to bounce off, David, if I may, real
sure.
quick.
Sure, go ahead.
My own research has shown incontrovertible proof that such groups as the Golden Dawn and Aleister Crowley's AA and, you know, the OTO,
yeah.
that their secret teaching is actually the merging of human and alien consciousness, either through direct sexual sex magic or energized enthusiasm meditation.
Couldn't agree more.
Pardon me, sir?
I couldn't agree more. I think you're absolutely spot on.
Thank you. Now, right now, the only group that I see that are actively and publicly promulgating this are the Ray Aliens. And I was wondering whether you thought that ultimately the Catholic Church would be, you know, used to facilitate a more worldwide public religion involving this particular merging and ultimately subjection of the human race. And secondly, whether you believed that you referred to problem, reaction, solution, whether you believe that sex offenders, the current, you know, epidemic, quote unquote, in this country, that whether that particular group is being set up as a test group for microchipping to keep track of them.
Well, I think there are many groups being set up. I mean, one of the groups that are being used, groups of people that are being used to justify the starting of chipping is Alzheimer patients, who they're saying, chip your Alzheimer patient and you'll never lose them, and you'll always know where they are and everything else. It's just all the thin end of the wedge to get in. Just very quickly, it's just dawned on me that we never actually mentioned the name of the candidate we were talking about. And the last answer is Ron Paul, of course. Ron Paul, who's saying some really, really good things. In terms of what you were saying about the Roman Church and the ritual stuff and the connecting human consciousness with alien consciousness, that's what all these rituals and sorcery is all about. I indicated earlier about the fact they want to lock us into the reptilian part of the brain because that gives them the potential to create a hive mind. And they do want to access our consciousness so that they can feed a reality to us. And this is where, as I indicated a few minutes ago, that where my research is going over the next couple of years to find out exactly how they do this and the whole process of it. And the Roman Church is a massive ritual network, a massive ritual organization. It's all about rituals. You see, this is an important point. Where your attention goes, so your energy flows. The more they can hold us in having an attention on something, the more that we our energy flows to that which we are having pointing our attention to. Now you take that attention phenomena to the next level of worship, in which your attention is even more focused and connected to what you're worshiping. Your energy can then be vampired through what you are focusing on. Now this is going to be extremely controversial, but they never mind. You know, let's talk. When you look at the image of Jesus on the cross in churches all over the world, that's an extremely negative image. Of course it is. Someone suffering on a cross like that, my goodness. And as people give their attention to worshiping that, it's not just Jesus, it's other deities too. You are focusing your attention on it. Your energy is flowing to it. And what they've done, and it's a mass global ritual, is they have put symbols in front of us, which we focus on. And because those symbols represent energies and entities, our energy flows as a result of that symbol through to that entity. We are being vampired for energy. I go into this in the book as well. And it's not just blood vampiring that the vampires deal with, it's energy. And they are sucking us dry.
Psychic vampires.
They're keeping us, in effect, George, they're keeping us on a low light. Instead of the fact that we are expressing the full magnitude of our energy, so this highly, immensely powerful all possibility consciousness comes through the body computer and we can express it into this reality to create a paradise. Instead, the idea is to keep us energetically on a low light, and they do that by suppressing our connection to infinite consciousness by focusing is only on the five senses and identifying with the body. But they also do it by vampiring our energy through various means, and one of them is getting us to focus on symbols that represent them. And because of the way energy works, by doing that, we are giving that our energy to them, and that many of these religious symbols are actually symbols of these fallen angels. Cracky, I've gone off. I don't think I'll be invited to the Vatican.
That'll be it for you.
For the first time, I went there at the start of the year to be interviewed for a television program, and there's symbols all over the Vatican, and there's pictures in the book of them, which are absolutely the symbols of the Church of Babylon.
How are you looked at now in England? I mean, are they not ridiculing you anymore?
No, I mean, it's vastly changed. I mean, the mainstream media still ridicule you. But what happens is, you know, you get ridiculous things like people, journalists will come along and they say, look, I agree with what you're saying. It makes absolute sense. But I'm going to have a go at you a bit in this article, because if I don't, they ain't going to put it in the paper. I had a guy from a paper the other day, a few weeks ago now, who did an interview with me, a national paper. And it was supposed to go in within days. And this guy was very positive towards me and very positive towards what I was saying, and clearly he was going to write a positive article. Well, it's still not gone out. You know, it's still not appeared. So you get that. But among the general population, it's the turnaround has been amazing. And I'll say to anybody, you know, who's speaking their truth, don't matter what people are saying about you now, they'll think something else tomorrow if what you says has validity. And it's really turned around here. And I have tremendous support out of America, the United States, and Canada. And if anything, that's the place where the revolution,
growing.
The revolution is going to take place in America. That's going to be the focus of it.
If 30% of what you say is accurate and true, just 30%, it's still frightening, David.
Yeah, but funny enough, I've never been frightened, and I'm not frightened now. There's one level of me knows that it's all, you know, going the way it needs to go. And you know, when you transform as an individual from one state of being to another, when you open your mind to other possibilities and higher consciousness, what tends to happen is your life changes dramatically. Your daily experience, the people in your life, you might lose your job, which forces you to go in another direction. And people see this as all extremely negative, and understandably in the experiencing of it. Oh, I've lost my job. Oh, this person's left me. Oh, my goodness, this has happened. Oh, my God, all this. And what's happening is the old energy field that you were projecting as a result of the state of consciousness you were in is breaking down. And as it breaks down, so does its, quote, physical expression, which is your life, people in it, and jobs and stuff.
Hey, David, that's the clock. The clock's got us. We're up at the gate. My friend, thank you.
What I'm saying very quickly is that's happening on a collective level now. And what seems bad is not necessarily so.
David Icke, website, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. For Dan Galati, Wayne Roberts, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere up there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.